Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's a new book by former Major League Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig called For the Good of the Game. The inside story of the surprising and dramatic transformation of Major League Baseball. About Bud's ownership of the Milwaukee Brewers, of bringing Milwaukee back, baseball back to Milwaukee, and his multiple decades as commissioner. And I have found it such an interesting read. And he's a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, and he joins us this morning to talk about the book. Bud, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. And I'm honest in saying I thought this book was such an incredible read. I think maybe because I love baseball history, there was such insight into some of the big moments that I didn't know. And it taught me a lot about your personality. And one of the anecdotes I just found, maybe somewhat still unbelievable, I don't know if I even believe what you wrote, was that you don't hold a grudge against the former owner of the Braves that moved the team out of Milwaukee that you admitted crushed your soul and it drove you to bring baseball back to Milwaukee. And then there, you detail how much energy you put into trying to get a team back, trying to get the White Sox, trying to get a team in expansion, trying to move a team. And you had an expansion vote. And the only owner that didn't vote for you guys to get an expansion team was the former owner, your former friend of the Braves when they were in Atlanta. And you said, I never held a grudge. How could that be? That must have crushed you.
It did. It broke my heart. But I'll tell you what happened. Now we get in. A miracle at the end. Probably, by the way, the last opportunity to get in. And we buy the Seattle club. We're in business. Going to major league meetings, Bill Bartholomew and I start talking. We even played tennis together. I beat him, by the way. See, I haven't forgotten that.
Okay.
And but we became friends, and over the years, really good friends. So he would say, if he was on this show today, well, I did you a favor. You got your own team. You became the commissioner. It all wouldn't have happened if we hadn't moved our team. So, I of course, he says that with some levity, obviously.
But you feel like he stabbed you in the back when he voted against your expansion team? You didn't have a team at that point.
I don't think it was him. I think it was other people in his group, frankly. But, you know, and we'll never know. But, no, I didn't. I at that point, I was heartbroken, but more determined than ever to get a team. And, you know, when we got one, I just moved on.
You detail in the book that when Barry Bonds is chasing Hank Aaron's record, it pained you inside because you were a close friend of Hank Aaron. You loved Hank Aaron. Obviously, Hank Aaron had brought so much joy to Milwaukee when he was a member of the Braves. And you said, I have to be there. Even though I don't like what's happening, I have to be there. I have to be present when Bonds breaks this record. And you cited that Bowie Kuhn, the original commissioner, an older commissioner rather, was not there when Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record.
Right.
Did that bother you that Kuhn was not there for Hank?
Well, I didn't think that much about it. Henry and I have been friends, and by the way, we are to this very moment. I was in Atlanta last week, and the first person I went to see, of course, for a long period of time was Henry Aaron. But, what crushed me more about that, frankly, was the hate mail and the hatred that Hank was going to when he broke Babe Ruth's record. That was stunning to me.
But you must have thought that, okay, Bowie Kuhn, I've got to be there, I'm the commissioner. You must have thought that Kuhn was not doing his part as commissioner to not be present for an iconic moment like that.
Well, I was very close to Bowie, but there's no question he made a mistake. Yeah. There's no question.
And why? Because he didn't respect the record?
He said he had another date. I don't really know the reason why. I really don't know the reason why.
I mean, that seems Now that you've been a commissioner, doesn't that seem like a crazy excuse to miss one of the most iconic moments in baseball history? I had another day.
I would not have missed it. I admit that.
Bud Selig joins us this morning on the show. You were crushed when the Brewers, well, when the Braves left, and that obviously, as we said, motivated you to bring back the Brewers. Right. And in your tenure as baseball commissioner, there was mostly stability. The only team, I believe, that moved in that time were the Expos to Washington, D.C. during your tenure. Is that right?
That is right. And let me say right at the outset, I tried to keep the team there. In fact, stayed 2 or 3 years longer trying to keep it there than most people thought I should.
So this was built, this feeling of yours that it was just not the right thing to do to a community to move a team, and that was that all based on how painful it was to lose the Braves?
Yes. Yes, it's something I never forgot. It's just something I never forgot.
So sorry to interrupt.
And I won't. It's a kind of thing. Unless you've been through it, now I know how the people in Brooklyn felt. Unless you have been through it, it's hard to know. I remember the last game the Braves played here. Oh my goodness! People crying, and it was a sad experience. And I had an experience, by the way, that I never forgot. I tell my students, as you know, I'm teaching now, and I tell my students, a woman came up to me at that game. I was sitting with a couple of my partners, and she said, "Are you Bud Selig?" "Yeah." And I was just a kid, 29, 30 years old, and I thought, uh-oh. And she was a handicapped woman, and she said the following to me. She was crying, and she told me how terrible this was. And she said, "Don't you understand something? This is breaking our hearts." She pointed her finger at me and said, "Don't you fail. You're all we got." I never forgot that.
That's pretty powerful stuff. The book is For the Good of the Game. And I'd like to be perfectly honest with you. I did read the book, and I really, really enjoyed it. And there is a passage in it where you say, "I inherited a bleeping nightmare when you became commissioner." And the title of the book, For the Good of the Game. And I wanted to know, did you write this book hoping for some public vindication of your legacy because perhaps you think you've been underappreciated? I mean, Interleague was a success. The wild card was a success. Revenue was up every year you were commissioner, but people remember you as the steroids commissioner. Was this a chance for your public vindication?
No, honestly, that thought never crossed my mind. I do spend a lot of time because there were a lot of historical myths on steroids. People not understanding that it was a subject of collective bargaining. After all, the union made no pretense of their opposition, and I give them credit for that. I don't give them credit for the opposition, but I give them credit for that. But, no, I don't. Look, it's too late in life for me, and everything passed. And the day I got in the Hall of Fame, that was all I really needed to. I wrote this because I'm a history buff, history professor now, and I just thought I wanted to bring... I wanted to bring everything out. And I'll tell you a quick story if we have another minute or so.
Yeah.
Years ago, somebody asked me, "How did you think to write a book?" Years ago, Doris Kearns Goodwin, who wrote the foreword, as you know,
yeah,
a famous historian, she was at Cooperstown with her husband, Richard Goodwin, and Henry Aaron was there with his wife. We were sitting around talking. She had come to see Jimmy Rice be inducted in the Hall of Fame. And we spent a night, we had more fun talking, telling stories, going back. And she said to me that night and over again since then, before the book, "You got to write a book. You can't let all this go. You've got to write a book." And that got me thinking, and I did.
I always wanted to ask you why you decided to include the names in the Mitchell Report.
I didn't really decide that. Senator Mitchell did, and I had given him complete independence, and I can't blame him. I think he thought it was the right thing to do. He did a very thorough investigation. Did he get everybody? No. But those that he had, he felt he had a release. Simple as that.
Because I always wondered, and you detail this in the book, about applying enough pressure to the players' union representation to get testing, because there were players that were okay for testing. There were players that felt like steroids were ruining their career because they
No. By the way, there were a lot of players.
And so I wondered if you decided or Mitchell decided to include the names of players, because even though there was no punishment there, decide to include the names of the players so that there would be a public embarrassment and shame, and then that would start swaying the voting part of the Players Association to say, okay, it's not worth this fight anymore because now the guys that take them are true villains. Was that an intention?
No, it really wasn't. He really wanted to do it, and it was part of the thoroughness. I mean, he had 1,900 interviews, and George Mitchell is one of the great men I've ever known. And I, when he said he wanted to do it, I told him okay.
One of the things I thought was really good about this book is that you were honest about the player stoppages in the 70s and 80s. And you were an owner during this time. You were not commissioner. But that you said our thinking as owners was dated. It was archaic. We needed to change. Do you feel like you should have had a better perspective back in the 70s and 80s and been more progressive or forward-thinking about labor back then?
No, I wish I had. Remember, I was just a young kid who had come in. And it was only later on when I became chairman of the Player Relations Committee and other things that I was in a position to do that. Back in the 70s, I was a rookie. And so there's no question, you know, that we made mistakes. Listen, we should have taken a reserve clause and modified that way back when. And there were owners that told me that at the time. My mentor, John Fetzer, said that to me over and over. You guys are going to pay a tough price for this. He was right. We did.
Is there a part of your career that you consider a mistake that you wish you didn't make?
You know, I'm asked that quite a bit, especially by my students. I can honestly look back on it and say no. I mean, there were some heartbreaking things that happened, but we did something about it. Wound up with 28 years of labor peace. Have the toughest testing program in America. Think about that. The toughest testing program in America now belongs to a sport that never had a drug testing program.
Yeah, it's an amazing legacy, but I feel like it's a little disingenuous to just say there's no regrets, there's nothing you ever wish that you did differently.
Well, there really isn't. I guess somebody would have to suggest to me a lot of things took a lot longer than I wanted. A lot of things were difficult. But I set my mind to doing what I was going to do, and when I decided to retire, there wasn't anything that I thought that I hadn't done that I wanted to do.
Well, I really did enjoy the book, For the Good of the Game, The Inside Story of the Surprising and Dramatic Transformation of Major League Baseball, written by Bud Selig. I highly encourage our baseball fans and sports fans that listen to pick it up this summer because it's a really good read. Bud, I really appreciate the time this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being with you, and anytime.
Thank you. Bud Selig joining us this morning on the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.